Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Welcome back to the commentary series on the Way of Perfection by St. Teresa of Avila. I'm Father Timothy Reed. I am a secular Carmelite and a diocesan priest from Charlotte, North Carolina. And it is my pleasure to continue walking with you through this spiritual masterpiece. Now, today is day 4 of our podcast, and today we're going to look at chapters 5 and 6. Now, in the last chapter, chapter 4, St. Teresa began a digression on confessors. You'll remember that Teresa is anxious to protect her nuns from worldly confessors. Now, when St. Teresa refers to confessors, she understands that the confessor acts not simply as the priest who hears the confessions and absolves sins. The confessor to the convent also acts as a spiritual director. And so she wants to ensure that her nuns are led securely on the way of perfection by the priest with whom they speak about their spiritual lives. Again, St. Teresa knows all too well the wiles of the devil, and of the myriad ways he can manipulate and entrap well-intentioned souls. So she readily encourages her nuns to feel free to speak to learned priests other than their ordinary confessors. Again, as I mentioned last time, Teresa knows how damaging an unlearned and ignorant confessor can be, and so she wants to stave off this danger. Her own experience with misguided and ignorant confessors is explained for us in the book of her life, which is her autobiography. And Teresa really suffered a great deal with them, and she suffered for years. Now, she says on page 34, "The greater favors our Lord shows you in prayer, the more need there is that you should be well informed about your devotions, prayer, and all your other duties." So for this reason, St. Teresa was known to prefer learned and intelligent confessors over holy confessors. Although the ideal, of course, is to have a confessor who is both learned and holy. She wants confessors who will not make light of sin, but who will shine the proper light on matters so that the sisters can truly grow in holiness. For she knows that their prayer lives will flourish if they can be properly directed. Now, interestingly, St. Teresa explains in paragraph 2 that she is of the mind that even if a nun's confessor is both learned and holy, there is still benefit to seeing another priest occasionally, because no confessor is perfect. And the truth of the matter is that we priests have varying levels of knowledge and understanding. There are things each of us may be mistaken or ignorant about from time to time. And we also have our good days and our bad days. Realizing this, St. Teresa believes it to be a prudent practice to occasionally speak to someone besides one's normal confessor, even if only to have a second opinion about something. And she's convinced that if the nuns are living as they should, God will provide some holy soul to guide them in their need. And so the nuns really shouldn't be concerned with being able to find the right priest. Again, making the point of wanting to protect the nuns from the evil one, Teresa says at the end of paragraph 3, "In convents, good observance tends to decline quickly if not preserved with great care. Evil customs, once begun, are most difficult to eradicate. They soon grow into habits, and the imperfections become second nature to us." Now, the bottom line on this comment, my friends, is that it's true of all of us. It's easy for a bad practice to become a bad habit in us and then just become second nature. Sin has this way of blinding us, even venial sin, so that we do not fully recognize its dangers. And so we must be vigilant to guard ourselves even against venial sin so that we don't get lazy in the spiritual life. And we need the help of good confessors and learned priests who can help us form our consciences correctly. Now with that, let's move on to chapter 6. In chapter 6, Saint Teresa returns to the topic of love, of charity. Now, this type of wandering, as she writes, is typical of Saint Teresa, but her digressions are part of the charm of her writings, and they're so often filled with great content. Now, as I mentioned in the last podcast, in paragraph 8 of chapter 4, Saint Teresa distinguishes between two types of love: that which is entirely spiritual, and secondly, that which is spiritual, but mingled with the frailty and weakness of human nature. Now, with regard to the love that is entirely spiritual, which she also calls supernatural love or perfect love, Teresa doesn't believe very many people really possess it. And this is because those who do possess it are those who have already risen to the height of perfection. Teresa even doubts that she herself possesses it or knows how to speak of it, but she's going to try to do so anyway. Now, in this section of the book, Saint Teresa is trying to answer the questions and ease the doubts of her nuns when it comes to this spiritual love, this supernatural love. In paragraph 2, Saint Teresa states that God gives to some people a clear and certain knowledge, which enables them to love differently than those who do not possess the same knowledge. And she hopes indeed that all of the nuns already possess this knowledge. So what is this clear and certain knowledge? Well, it is a revelation about the differences between the visible, sensible world in which we live, and which is but a dream, and the invisible spiritual world that we know to be eternal. It's a knowledge of the Creator and the creature, and what is gained by loving the Creator and what is lost by loving creatures. It's a knowledge that only comes to those who seek out God in prayer, and that provides certainty and conviction about the truths He reveals. Saint Teresa says that souls who have this knowledge are generous, noble spirits who are not content with loving anything so wretched as a mortal body, whatever beauties and attractions it may possess, that is, with a love that dominates and enslaves them. When attracted by something beautiful, these souls praise the Creator, for they know to dwell on such a thing would be to love what she calls a nothingness. And so these are discerning people who see what is most important and who truly possess the virtue of charity. Now in paragraph 3, she takes up the question of how persons with perfect or supernatural love repay the affection of others. And Teresa states that these persons care little for the affection of others. In fact, she writes on page 40, although they naturally feel a momentary pleasure in being loved, yet returning to their senses, they see this as but folly, unless the liking comes from one who can help them by counsel or by prayer. All other affection wearies them, for they know it cannot profit, but may even injure them. Yet they are grateful for it, and requite it by commending their friend to God, thinking her attachment forms a debt laid on them by our Lord, from whom they believe it comes. Now, she points out that these perfect souls don't see anything amiable in themselves to love, and they believe others love them just for the love of God, and so they ask our Lord to repay them. The point here is that the perfect souls don't worry about being loved by others because they do not want anything that is apart from God. And they don't worry about being repaid for the love they show. Having so trodden underfoot all worldly goods, delights, and joys, these souls know that human love really cannot bring them anything. And so they cease to care for it, realizing this truth so clearly that they laugh at the thought of how anxious they used to be as to whether their affections were returned or not. And this is because, as Teresa says on page 41, that any repayment of our love is but a thing of straw. That is, it's worthless. Now, to the question of whether or not these perfect souls can love anyone but God, Teresa answers, yes, they can. And in fact, she says, they love others far more, with a truer, more generous, and intense affection. And she goes on to say on page 41, these souls are ever more ready to give than to receive, even with their Creator. This, I say, merits the name of love, for all other base affections have but usurped the title. Now, I love that line, because it takes us to task for how we just casually throw around the word love. How many people say they love but don't really know what it means or how truly to practice it? Now, in paragraph 5, St. Teresa writes, you may wonder if such persons do not love what they see, what it is that they love. And to this pondering point, she states that the perfect souls are drawn to what is stable. The perfect souls look beyond the appearance of a person to see if there is anything to love in their soul. And they are willing to dig deep to find gold within the mine, that is, to find something lovable in the soul of another person. Indeed, she says, there's nothing these persons wouldn't do for the good of a soul. No trouble wearies them. No service is too hard for them willingly to render it, for they wish their affection for it to last. Yet those who possess this perfect spiritual love cannot love those who do not love God, no matter what natural attractions these people might possess. Teresa says the souls who love perfectly cannot be cheated with false coin. Seeing that their minds are not in unison, they cannot continue to love. For if their friend does not love God nor keep his law, their attachment must end with this life, and they will go to different regions. She goes on, these souls in which our Lord has instilled true wisdom hold the affection which ends in this world no higher than its proper value. Indeed, they hold it cheaper. Now, Teresa says that if those who love perfectly love any worldly person at all, it's because they long to bring that person's soul to love God so that they themselves can eventually love that person. So in other words, they love the worldly person in order to benefit that person. Now with this chapter, St. Teresa is really challenging us to first and foremost think about what it is that we love most in this world. Do we love God above all else, with all our minds, hearts, souls, and strength? Or do we spend our time working for the things of the world, making idols out of mammon? As our Lord says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. And it's true. And this is why we must treasure God above all else if we are to walk the way of perfection. And beyond loving God, we must also ask, whom do we love in this world? Are our friends people who are like-minded in their pursuit of God and their love for Him? Or do we try to curry favor with those of worldly means who may be able to provide for us in some way? And if we do have friends who are worldly and away from God, do we make any effort to bring them to the Lord? Saint Teresa's concern is that if we spend too much time with worldly people who do not love God, our own love for God will be damaged. And with that, we come to the end of day 4 in our study of the Way of Perfection. Thank you once again for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll start by diving into chapter 7. But to finish, let's pray the famous prayer of Saint Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. May God bless you, and may Saint Teresa of Avila intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.